Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing. Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead. Till that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through. So have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
Praise me, late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries. We are destroying the yokes of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Missionary Terry Rogers, who is filling in for your regular host, Dr. Maria Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. Announcements for today: look for Amazing Grace School of Ministry. Classes have ended, but you can still listen to lessons on www.blogtalkradio.com. The host, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole. Name of the class is Amazing Grace School of Ministry. If you have any questions, email Dr. Carey at amazgracemin@yahoo.com. That is amazinggracemin@yahoo.com for details. For information, please contact Dr. Maria Carey at 309-750-7584 on any of the announcements that you have heard on today. Tune in for another exciting lesson in the series, Living Holy in a Sinful World, Working Out Our Soul Salvation. Now let's read the topic scriptures. Romans 8. 1 through 3, and this is the King James Version. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Romans 8, 3 through 5. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do the mind of the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as we which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, King James Version. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 6, 6 and the 11th verse. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Likewise, you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The lesson. Working out our soul salvation. The overall theme is living holy in the sinful world. And on the last week, Dr. Carey presented two things. So today we are going to talk about what it means to live in a sinful world but not operate in our flesh. When you say working, working is the manner of functioning or operating. The word out means in a direction away from the inner, inside, or center of something. Salvation means deliverance from sin and its consequences. Flesh definition is a compound substance forming a large part of the animal, consisting of the softer solids as distinguished from the bones and the fluid under the general appellation of flesh. We include the muscle, fat, glands, which invest the bones and are covered with the skin. It is sometimes restricted to the muscles. Flesh is the soft part of the body of an animal that the working definition. Now, this is the working definition. The Bible is clear about the ways that we should live in this world. However, as believers, there are many things that distract us and therefore keep us from moving closer to God spiritually. The Bible in 1 Peter 1, 15, 16 talks about living holy and operating holy in all manners of conversation, because Christ is our Lord and God is holy. Therefore, as human beings, as people that are called believers, we have a duty to live holy. Holiness means living a life without sin. Scriptures are clear about telling us about how to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's Romans 8, 1 through 3. The Bible makes it clear that humanity was created good and perfect in the book of Genesis. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. That's Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Adam and Eve were created good and without sin. However, when Adam and Eve sinned, then nature was corrupted, and that nature was passed along to us and to our offspring. So what developed was the sin nature. The end result of sin is a nature offer referred to as the flesh in the scripture, sometimes that opposes God and seeks sinful gratification. The sin nature is the aspect in man that makes him rebellious against God. The sin nature refers to the fact that we have a natural inclination to sin, given the choices to do God's will or our own. We will naturally choose to do our own. Proof of the sin nature abounds. No one has to teach a child to lie or to be selfish. Rather, we go to great lengths to teach children to tell the truth and put others first. Sinful behavior comes naturally. The news is filled with tragic examples of mankind acting badly. Wherever people are, there is trouble. You can count on that. The Bible explains the reason for trouble. Humanity is sinful, and not just in theory or in practice by nature. Sin is part of the very fiber of our being. The Bible speaks of sinful flesh. In Romans 8 and 3, it's our earthly nature that produces the list of sin in Colossians 3 and 5. And Romans 6 and 6 speaks of the body ruled by sin. The flesh and the blood exist. We lead on this earth is shaped by our sinful, corrupt nature. The Bible clearly teaches that the flesh controls a sinful man's action, his character, and conduct. The Bible goes on to teach that the Spirit of God controls the child of God's action, character, and conduct. Christians are debtors to Christ, who bought them for a price. Sinners are debtors to the flesh. The sin nature is universal in humanity. All of us have a sinful nature, and it affects every part of us. All of us have gone astray, Isaiah 53 and 6. Paul admits that trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin, Romans 7, 14. Paul was in his sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin, Romans 7, 25. Solomon concurs, indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no, not one, who does what is right and never sin, Ecclesiastes 7 and 20. The Apostle John perhaps put it most bluntly, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us, 1 John 1 and 8. But Jesus became the ransom for sin on the cross. Even children having a sin nature. David rules the fact that he was born with the sin already at work within him. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Psalms 51 and 5. Elsewhere, David states, even from birth, the wicked goes astray. From the womb, they are wayward, spreading lies. Psalms 58 and 3. The manifestations and struggle with the flesh. According to the Bible, the flesh manifests itself in humans by the following. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. Just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, there is consequences of the flesh. The Bible says that living in the flesh produces a number of unfortunate consequences. First scripture states that those who live according to the flesh and whoever who never desire change or repent from their sinful behavior will experience separation from God, both in this life and the next. Therefore, what benefits were you then deriving from the sinful practice of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death, Romans 6:21. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And that's Romans 8:13. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians 6:7-8. Further, a person also becomes a slave to his or her fleshly nature. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness, Romans 6:16. This slavery always leads to a destructive life and deteriorated living. As the prophet Hosea said, for they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind, Hosea 8:7. Overcoming the flesh. It is through Christ that we are born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, John 3:6. When we are born of Adam, we inherit his sin nature. But when we are born again in Christ, we inherit a new nature. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible provides a three-step process for overcoming the flesh and restoring oneself to a right relationship with God. The first step is a walk of honesty, where a person acknowledges his sin behavior before God. This involves agreeing with what the Bible says about everyone born of human parents. People are sinners and enter the world in a broken relationship with God, who made them. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? Psalms 130:3. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1:8-10. The next step is a walk in the Spirit, which involves calling out to God for salvation and receiving his Holy Spirit. That empowers a person to live rightly before God and not obey the flesh desires. This transformation and new walk of life is described in several places in the Scripture. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians 2:20. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:11. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, Galatians 5:16. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ, Galatians 3:27. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh in regards to its lust, Romans 13:14. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Psalms 119:11. The last step is a walk of death, where the flesh is starved of its desires so that it eventually dies. Even though a person is born again through the Spirit of God, he must understand he still possessed the old nature with its desires that war with the new nature and the desires that come from the Spirit. From a practical standpoint, the Christian purposely avoids feeding the old fleshly nature and instead practices new behaviors that are driven by the Spirit. But flee from sinful action, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. 1 Timothy 6:11. Now flee from youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Therefore, consider the members of the earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Colossians 3:5. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5:24. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, Romans 6:6. But you did not learn Christ in that way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed by the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Ephesians 4:20-24. In conclusion, working out our salvation is learning to submit your life to God and giving him control of it. It's not operating in a sinful nature by fleeing temptation. It's modifying this flesh by obeying the Spirit of God. It's building the spirit man by reading the Word of God, worshiping our God, and repenting of our sins daily. This is a daily walk. It's cultivating a lifestyle of holiness where we do not operate in the manifestations of the flesh. So a born-again Christian has the power over the lust of the flesh and are able to do the will of God. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I humbly come before your throne of grace. First and foremost, God, I ask you to forgive us of our sins. Sins, Lord, that we knowingly and unknowingly committed. I thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Because you are the Lord of lords, you are the King of kings, you are the Prince of peace, and you are the everlasting Father. Lord, you are the true and living God, and there is none like you. Lord, we honor you, we adore you, we magnify you, God. Lord God, you are sovereign in all your ways. Lord God, we say that you are holy. Lord God, that we say that you are majestic. God, you are all right with us. And Lord God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, we give you the honor. Lord God, we open our mouths to magnify you. You are the God that heals. You are the God that forgives. You are the God that delivers. You are the God above all other gods. And we praise you in advance that someone is going to be better. We praise you in advance, Lord God, that someone will be set free. And Lord God, we just ask you to help us to live a whole, to live holy in this sinful world. And then, Lord God, we need you to help us to work out our soul salvation. Lord God, I'm lifting Dr. Carey and the listeners that are on the live up before you on today. Lord, look on our pastors and their families, the bishops and all the people of God. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you have allowed Dr. Carey to share with me. I thank you for those that were not able to tune in. Let them be able to tune in on next week. And then, Lord God, I just thank you for tuning in to Amazing Grace Ministries Radio Blog Talk with Dr. Maria Carey. And standing in for her on today is yours truly, Missionary Terry Rogers. And if you have any questions, remarks, or comments, you can call or text Dr. Carey at 309-750-7584. Tune in on next week, and Dr. Carey will be live at the same time. Enjoy the remainder of your day and be blessed.